Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com,
hey,
Kevin Held,
it's me,
Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk.
Say hi,
hardcore
Dave.
Hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast. As always, we are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce. Hot Sauces and Knives, guys. They have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, and Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with real Reaper pepper from Carolina, and for the brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1 ounce bottle. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere. I got one. I'm cutting stuff up left and right. It's fantastic, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order. That's jldsharpsauce.com. Dave, the more I think about it, the more I love the PJ Williams game last night. I think I will christen the Saints' win in Minnesota last night the PJ Williams game. He was both horrible and fantastic. I wanted to strangle him to death 1 minute, and then right before halftime, I wanted to hug him, and then he had the pick six, and I wanted to make him Bacchus 2019.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I think in the end, it's just it's evens out. He's even Stevens. So we still don't love him, but we still don't hate him. Yeah, you know, he, like you said,
I definitely don't love him. That's for sure.
I mean, like you said,
I might still hate him. Yeah, it's like he's got a reprieve on hate.
Reprieve.
Yeah, I mean,
until his next touchdown that he gives up.
Well, I mean, he's got to face what receivers does he have coming up? He's got Juju Smith-Schuster. He's got
Brandon Rams. He's got Brandon. He's got Brandon Cooks and Culp and that little bitty
Robert Woods. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
I mean, that's no easy task.
I mean, the thing is, this is what we need to discuss here. The thing is, I think when the Saints signed Eli Apple, we were expecting Eli Apple to sort of take PJ Williams' spot and be the third guy, the slot guy. Oh, you thought he was going to replace Crawley?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't think that.
Someone is not listening to our 10-minute podcasts, Ralph.
No, if I had time to listen to the podcast, I would have time to join you on the podcast.
It is true.
Join you, I'm obviously not.
Well, had you listened, Dave, you would have been enlightened by my prediction that Crawley would be the one sitting out because he's an outside corner only and he can't play special teams. So he basically, if he's not starting, he has no real value to the Saints. So what I said was that if Eli Apple replaces him, it's not like he can play nickel. So PJ Williams would keep his spot. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, before we get, I mean, we can go there. Look,
hey, I'm like 1 for 50 on predictions now. Let me have this one.
Well, here's the thing.
Are we buying into the whole Billy Bando burner account thing? I mean, you guys don't actually believe that, do you?
Wait, what's
that? I want to believe it. Is that fair?
That's fair. I mean, I think.
Wait, what are you referencing? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh man, Juge, I'm really surprised you're so out of it. I really thought you were. I really thought you had your finger on the pulse of Saints Twitter. I guess I was wrong.
Fill me in. What are we talking about here?
There are people who believe that there's a Twitter account, Billy Bando One, and he's been on Twitter for a little while, I guess. And like all of his tweets are defending Ken Crawley, like too much defending Ken Crawley. And so people believe that that's a Ken Crawley burner account, that it's really Ken Crawley, but he's lying.
I have many of the DMs, thanks to the patrons for pointing that out. They're like, this is a Ken Crawley burner account. But I can't be sure until somebody makes me a collage of StoryFi's tweets
to
prove it.
Yeah, you do need to check it out. But I'm telling you right now that yesterday I got proof, all the proof I need to determine that it is definitely not Ken Crawley, because like a couple of hours before the kickoff, when they announced that Crawley was inactive, the burner account made some joke like, oh, I'm really enjoying my day off or whatever. If that was Ken Crawley, he wouldn't be making those jokes about Ken Crawley. So I really don't think that it's actually Ken Crawley.
There is some overweight middle-aged man somewhere in Louisiana that is like, I fooled these motherfuckers into thinking that I'm Ken Crawley. I can't believe this is happening. And he's playing it to the hilt. He's playing us for fools. But yeah, I want it to be true. I do. I won't lie. So,
all that to say, I certainly don't think that Crawley was benched because the coaching staff found out about his burner.
Who would you want?
What if Wang was the Sean Payton burner account?
That was my next question. Who would you want of any Saints person in the building, front office, player, coach, whoever, who would you want to have a burner account, a.k.a. like the 76ers general manager, Colangelo, who had to quit because they found out he had like three burner accounts? Who would you want to have a burner account?
I'm pretty sure Mickey Loomis is angry who that. Is Angry Hoodat even on Twitter anymore still? Is he still?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I got certain people blocked because I just can't stand them. And they make Twitter less fun. But I've met Angry Hoodat in person. I've met Dominic. He's very nice in person, and I block him
really?
On Twitter,
you have?
Which is odd. And I've met him a couple times.
I've met him, too. I actually met him with Ralph.
When have you guys met him in person?
Like a Saints tailgate outside the dome.
He gave me free liquor. It was great. He's a very, very nice person in real life, but he's kind of a dick on Twitter, so I blocked him. But that's like if he's Mickey Loomis on Twitter, then Mickey Loomis is paying Dominic to go out in public and pretend to be angry. That's levels of chicanery that I can't comprehend.
What about Jomple? Didn't you guys have a thing with Jomple?
Yeah.
He was blocked too.
I want if Gail Benson had a burner account and was like trashing other owners and like making backhanded comments at Loomis for not getting the Patrick Peterson deal done, I think that would be the best burner account ever.
Agreed.
You know how like Thomas Morstead is like beloved and like nice to everyone and like does all the stuff for kids? Like, it would be pretty funny if he had, like, an alter ego dickhead account where he would just, like, he basically, like, needed to get his demons out, and he knew he couldn't damage his own brand, and so he was just a huge jerk to everyone on Twitter on his burner account.
His Breeze's Twitter account would just be diatribes and angry emojis about how shitty the Saints defense is. That's all it would be. It would just be those two nuclear reactors just melting, just collapsing. And it would be the sad Rob Ryan face when they lost to the Patriots. It would just be that over and over and over again.
No,
and I'm here for it.
Breeze has a burner account, and it's just more sponsored posts. Even the burner account is sponsored posts.
But it's like gambling. pornography.
Yeah, that's right. It's all the
dating.
Even the burner account is sponsored.
Bong paraphernalia. It's like all the things that he can't be seen sponsoring because he's an upstanding citizen, but he's using it to pay for his blue diamond collection.
Hey, side note.
Oh shit!
There's
cool.
No way Bree is actually loves Jimmy John's, right?
Yeah,
I don't think Drew Brees has finished a Jimmy John's sandwich in his life. He puts only the.
This is a guy who eats
essentials in his body.
You think Drew Brees has a fine palate?
No, I just think he thinks it's unhealthy, so he doesn't put it in his body. I drank more in the first quarter of the Saints game yesterday, more alcohol than Drew Brees has put in his body his entire life.
That's probably true.
I firmly believe that.
So,
I bet you didn't.
So you had a beer, huh?
No, I had like three. I had like three Jack and Cokes.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure the only time Drew Brees has ever drank was that night when he was after they won the Super Bowl when he was at Lucy's and he told everybody how to do the chant. Remember that? And it was like clear that he was, you know, a little inebriated. That was like the only time we've ever seen Drew under the influence. Any proof that he might actually drink?
Partake. Let's talk about the game. How great was that? How great was that game?
I wanted that game so badly. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. I did my column early for last week because I was out in California. And I for my game preview, I was like, I don't have any information. I just want this game so fucking bad. I hate the Vikings. I apologize for nothing. I want the Saints to win. The Saints are gonna win. Like, that game was. And the Saints players, they're playing rap music in the locker room. And even Breeze after Dave was like, yeah, it kind of had a little extra special meaning. Like, the Saints fucking wanted that game as bad as us. Am I wrong to think that?
No, but it's, you know, it's just annoying, like, because the whole week prior, you know, if the media says, oh, is this game, you know, does this game have, is this a revenge game? Oh, and, you know, they say, no. This is, you know, just like every other week, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then when they win, of course, you know, they're extra excited because they really wanted to win it. And so, I mean, they were just lying the whole time. You know, the whole week prior, yeah, they're just lying
Underhill,
about how important this game is.
Underhill really went hard on, he went on that hill to die, that it was just another game.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's not. It never was. That game has been circled on everybody's calendar on Airline Drive since it came out in the summer. Don't tell me it wasn't.
I mean, I wish would have loved it if Kamara would have said, in the off season, I said, fuck Minnesota. I meant fuck Minnesota. You guys, I mean, but here's the thing.
I mean, don't you guys think it's kind of a rivalry a little bit?
Starting all the way back to 2009.
I mean, come on.
Maybe going back further, but yeah.
The Saints in Minnesota, for a non-division team, it's as close as a rivalry can be because Minnesota kicked the shit out of the Saints in the first playoff game. And up in the late, through like the 1991 season,
they crushed the Saints' ass. They knocked the Saints out of the playoffs in 2000.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, it's as close to a rivalry as you can have with a non-division team. And the schedule at least makes it, since they're not AFC, I mean, the Saints can play them pretty consistently.
Like, you may hate the Seahawks more because of Pete Carroll or whatever, but, like, can you name a non-division opponent that's a bigger rivalry with the Saints? I mean, maybe the Cowboys. Probably the Cowboys, right?
No, why the Cowboys? Like,
I just feel like a lot of Saints fans know a lot of people from Texas, so I think it's more just like a regional thing. But I mean, maybe the Bears a little bit with Ryan Pace, but like, it's not like they've had like meaningful games, you know? So
Houston
like,
would if Houston could be a huge rivalry, but they're AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't.
No.
The Vikings are probably the biggest rivalry besides the NFC South.
I mean, I think the Eagles were kind of trending in that direction, you know, earlier in the Peyton Breeze era, you know, when we played them in the playoffs.
Oh, they circled the stadium, the victory laps.
Yeah, and all that stuff. you know, we beat them in the playoffs again in Philly. We're playing them again this year, so, I mean, we'll see what happens. If we had beaten Minnesota, we would have played them last year in the NFC Championship. But I certainly, Minnesota, I think you guys are right. It's the biggest non-division rival for the Saints.
By far. So the other interesting thing besides PJ Williams, I don't know if you hear that, Andrew.
Taysom Hill, baby.
Well, you can say Taysom Hill. I was saying Marcus Davenport. The fucking hype train for him is at full throttle. I think we need like a sonic train. It's going full blast for Marcus Davenport. But if you want to start in Taysom Hill and the three quarterback play that gave Skip Bayless a fucking seizure, and for that,
what did he say?
He's like, this Taysom Hill nonsense, that's why the Saints didn't score. And, like, two plays later, they scored anyway. But, like, just to piss off Skip Bayless that much that he felt the need to tweet about it and the Saints scored anyway. Like, they wanted Teddy. Do you think Teddy Bridgewater was out there as a decoy fully, or they had some sort of thing where he was possibly going to get the ball?
No, I think there was something cooked up where he would throw a pass. I really do. I think I don't know if like they were setting it up to use it later if they had the right personnel, but they just got to a point in that game where they were just running the football a lot, and then it just never made sense. But if it had been a shootout where like they needed to play, like there was something dialed up there.
The interesting thing, Dave, is they did a play with Taysom Hill that wasn't a sort of oddball trick play like the read option. They put him in shotgun and he threw a regular pass play. Like, what the fuck was that?
Why are you so surprised that a quarterback is playing quarterback?
Well, I mean,
that's the great thing about Taysom is, like, I mean, technically he's a quarterback. You know, I was trying to see, you know, if he was on your fantasy football team, you got to put him in a quarterback. You can't put him in at flex, even though
he needs
feels
to be.
Like,
a, Nick
even though
he's said
a flex
that today,
guy.
He needs Taysom
like
Hill needs
player.
To be a flex because he is the flex position in human form.
He is. Yes. He is absolutely a flex player. He fucking flexes to every goddamn position on offense and special teams. So
it's kind of bullshit that you can't put him at tight end or running back in fantasy football.
It is.
Yeah. No, you can't. But fantasy wise, he's not really a great start. I mean, he's a bust kind of guy. They're gonna find the end zone, or he's not. He's not gonna like rack up.
Well, but the thing about Taysom Hill, if you could play him at flex, he would be at least a guy that you know he's gonna get his majority of his touches near the goal line. So if you were desperate and you had buys or injuries, like Taysom Hill would be a better lottery ticket to play at flex than, say, Tre'Quan Smith, because at least Taysom Hill, you know he's going to get 7 to 10 snaps in the red zone, you know? So he'd
yeah,
be...
That's true.
Andrew, about this game, as far as X's and O's, the Saints' defensive line was freaking amazing, but how much of that was the Saints' defensive line being amazing and the Minnesota offensive line being dog shit?
I think it was three things.
From column A, a little bit from column B.
Yeah. There's
where's
that going
Kevin,
on.
By the way?
Yeah.
I think number one, they were missing both tackles and a guard. And I was actually relieved to see Davenport kind of take a dump on the left tackle. Because if he can't eat a backup alive,
I gotta barbecue your ass in molasses.
Yes. So, you know, if he can't own a backup left tackle, then why are we wasting two first round picks on the guy? So I was relieved to see that. You know, Cam Jordan, he never got a sack, but my God, did he was in Cousins' face all game. I thought he was awesome. But, you know, Rankins was was going against a regular starter, and he just flat out embarrassed them. So Rankins was awesome. I think it was actually a combination of the Saints played great. The Vikings were just so injured. Their offensive line was hurt. But like when you have a banged up offensive line, you can't be throwing every play. I mean, you remember this. Zach Strief came on the podcast and he said, if you run the football, then the defensive line's going to be tired at the end of the game. If you throw the football, the offensive line's going to be tired at the end of the game. That's how it works. And the Vikings were throwing every play. And so what you saw is as the game continued to go, when we got into the second half, the offensive line started to cave more and more. And the defensive line, it felt like they were getting stronger and stronger. So I think it's on the offensive coordinator, too. I really think the Vikings did a really poor job in terms of just play calling and game plan.
Yeah, well, Minnesota's
way too much. That team throws way too much.
Well, here's the thing with me. Minnesota's, they're just not as good because they're injured. And here's the thing. I know Kirk Cousins is more consistent, and over his career, he's better than Case Keenum. But this year's Kirk Cousins isn't as good as last year's one-hit wonder Case Keenum. Case Keenum pulled third downs out of his ass all year long last year. And you combine not as good a quarterback and injuries, and Minnesota, they're going to go from like 13-3 to like 9-6-1, 10-5-1, which is a big regression. And here's the thing, and we'll get to the Rams game in a minute. But to me, Dave, the NFC, it looks like the Saints, the Rams, and a bunch of dog shit. Am I wrong to think that?
Packers? We don't think the Packers are going to turn it on late in the season. You know they always do.
I mean, I looked at them. They have Aaron Rodgers, which makes them scary. But, I mean, their line isn't that great. Aaron Rodgers is kind of running for his life, and their defense doesn't – their rookie corners are nice, but, I mean, I don't look at them as any great shakes. And Mike McCarthy is – his head's filled with caramel, so he's a big blockhead. I heard that the rumor is that him and the new Cleveland GM are really close, so that Cleveland would, like, trade picks to Green Bay, and – McCarthy would go be the Browns coach, which poor Cleveland.
I think the Packers fans would be very happy with that.
No, McCarthy. They'd be like, you want to give us what?
Yeah. I think Packers fans would love the opportunity to ship him out for draft picks.
Here's a question for you, Dave, and this, it's going to sound like a slight, but it's not. We want Drew Brees to be MVP. We're pushing it on the Twitters. We're pushing it on Facebook, everywhere. Drew Brees for MVP, Drew Brees for MVP. How many of these game manager games can he have and still be a serious MVP candidate? And not that it's bad because the Saints won. And look, if he's going to have games where he throws for 180 yards or 190 yards and two touchdowns and a pick, or two touchdowns and no picks, whatever, it's not bad. It doesn't bother me any. But, like, how many of these, like game manager performances can he have and still be in the MVP consideration?
I mean, I think if the Saints keep winning, then that only helps him. You know, regardless of how whether he's the one that's doing it all the time, whether he's the one that's putting the team on his back and carrying them and getting them to win games, if he takes a back seat to, like he did this past week, to a running game or a defense or anything like that, as long as the Saints keep winning, I think it's fine, because then he's the quarterback and the leader of a 15-1, a 14-2 team that's tops in the NFC. That bolsters his success. You know, if the Saints fall off a little bit, you know, they finish 11-5, something like that, or even 10-6, God forbid. You know, the only way you're going to win MVP when you're on a team like that is if you're putting up ridiculous numbers. So, you know, I'd say he can only have one or two. If that's the direction they're going to go, if the Saints aren't going to be, if they're not going to put a crazy amount of wins on the board this season, 14, 15 wins or something like that, then, you know, Drew can't take more than 2-3 games off. You know, he needs to put up some serious numbers. And going back to that, I was disappointed to see him. We knew it was going to happen, but to see him throw his first interception, that was disappointing. That was kind of a cool, a cool stat on his sheet this year so far.
Andrew, what's realistic for him as far as interceptions on the year, you think? What's a realistic number for him to have that would be very, very good?
Well, he still hasn't had his interception binge game, and he always has at least one of those a year.
We already played Cleveland, though.
It's true. He's still going to have his interception binge game where he throws at least 3, maybe 4. And he's got 1, so, yeah, you know, I think he'll have 8 interceptions on the year. That's probably – I mean, well, let's see.
I would take the under on that.
You think he'll throw less than – well, that's 7. That would mean he throws 7 over the next 9 games.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but it's not that much if you think of 1 being a binge game, like 3 or 4. So – yeah, maybe it'll be less than that, but I would say he's going to probably throw at least 5 or 6 more.
Here's another question with the game. The Saints, I thought, Dave, I know the defensive line struggled, and we'll get to the secondary's struggles in a bit, but man... I got to give it to him. Davis looked fantastic at linebackers. The other linebackers did some stuff. Teo almost had
Klein,
a play.
Klein looks good, yeah.
I mean, so linebackers, how are we feeling about them basically halfway through the year? Are you feeling – I'm feeling a lot – I feel like this group's as good as – I think it's a little bit better than 2009, maybe, because I think – Davis can do more in coverage, and the other two give him some maybe not quite as good. Maybe put it this way: it's the second best group they've had since 2006. Am I wrong to think that?
They could be the best.
2009
to be quite honest
good,
with
though.
You. I don't know. I've never been impressed with Saints linebackers. Obviously, 2009 you had Vilma, but
and Fujita.
I'm not saying Fujita's a bad linebacker, but I don't know. I just I like this group of guys. They play well together. You know, there's no big names, no amazing talent, but I think they get the
know,
job
DeMario
done.
Davis is pretty damn talented, man.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he's not like a name, though. Nobody's gonna be throwing his name out.
They paid him a lot of money, so whoever on the Saints,
I don't even know him.
Whoever on the Saints wanted him, got it right with him, you know. And here's the thing.
My wife.
She was even like, "That dude's fast," last night.
Yeah. So, he did look speedy.
So there you go. So Andrew. Look, I know the Saints, they traded for Eli Apple. Reportedly, Patrick Peterson isn't getting traded, or the Saints didn't have enough, or whatever.
Hey,
I know
sure
they don't have any more draft picks, and yada, yada, yada. Tomorrow's a trade deadline. Do you think Mickey Loomis might have something more up his sleeve? They could finagle some stuff and take on some salary of a guy if they wanted to. Do you think they have another move in them? And if they did... what would it be?
No, I don't think so. Eli Apple is so bad that, you know, if I could see them trading away Bridgewater, if they could get, if someone offered a second round pick for Bridgewater, like let's say the Jaguars were desperate, I think the Saints would consider it because they gave up a third for him. And if they're like, well, we gave up a third and we're getting a second back, maybe they think about it. So that would be like one thing that could happen. I don't think it's going to happen. Giving up the second for Peterson is kind of another pie in the sky, but I don't think anything happens.
Dave, do you think the Saints will be doing anything tomorrow?
No.
I mean, if they're gonna do something, it's gonna be the moment this podcast hits the internet. That's when it will happen.
So in like an hour. Make sure you see if you can get Kevin in on this. He's on Skype.
That's just the way it goes. So, before we get maybe Kevin may or may not join, but if Kevin doesn't join us tonight, he's going to join us later.
Check your text message.
It's the biggest, baddest week of football in the history of Louisiana. We got LSU, Alabama, Saturday, Saints, Rams, Sunday. Andrew, you alerted me before the show that it's time for Juge's judgments. So what do you have tonight?
This may be an unpopular take, but through seven games, I'm going to say that the Saints MVP is Ryan Ramczyk on offense and Sheldon Rankins on defense.
Wow. Let me
say something real quick here. This Saints team, you know, I think someone on Twitter, one of the writers, might have been Jeff Duncan, or it was one of the writers, and they said that the Saints team has found their identity this year, and it's winning in the trenches. And I firmly agree with that. As great as Breeze has been, as great as Kamara has had a few games, Michael Thomas has done his thing, but the one thing that's really stood out to me is offensive and defensive line. And really, defensive line has come on strong more lately, but the offensive line's been really great all year. So I'm going with those two guys so far. I mean, we still have one game before we kind of officially hit midseason for the Saints, but I'm saying Ramczyk is my offensive MVP, and I'm saying Rankins is my defensive MVP.
The thing about Ramczyk, I think we forget about, that dude played every play last year, Dave, and I don't think it's a stretch to say the Saints have the best two tackles in football.
You know, I don't... They
certainly have the best pair of tackles.
Yeah, I don't know each left and right tackle on each team, you know, that I could make that assertion, but I would certainly agree with you that Ramczyk and Armstead, when he's healthy, and then even
he is.
Which he is, and he has been, fortunately. But, I mean, and then even throwing Pete in there, too. I mean, that those three guys. Well, hell, and Unger. I mean, yeah, they just have a great offensive line. I mean, they've got a lot of talent. They have
you
a
didn't
lot of
even
talent.
Name Warford, and he went to the Pro Bowl last
I know.
Year.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, all five of those. Yeah, I mean, all of those guys are, that's what, six guys. I mean, that's five plus an extra rotation guy.
So Jude, what's your next take?
Yeah, you know, my last take is, you know, I feel remiss, and I feel like I need to mention
Ralph,
this.
What is going on with your cat? Oh, shit.
Oops. got a little trigger happy there.
The cat does not like
Juge's
judgments. You know, I feel like I need to say something about John Hill, who passed away. Passed away too young, but, you know, a lot of young Saints fans have never heard of him. Speaking of offensive linemen, but at a time where the Saints, frankly, just weren't very good and had very few good players, very few heroes in franchise history, John Hill was a phenomenal offensive lineman for the Saints.
He was. He really was.
And he really is part of the fabric. And, you know, the Saints account, I recommend you go see it if you haven't. I retweeted it. But if you get a chance, John Hill just kind of talks about what it was like playing for the Saints. This video was taken a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, he talks about the Falcons and beating the Falcons and how much that meant and how much he still hates them. And, you know, if you're just a fan since 2006 or since 2009 or whatever, and you're interested in looking back, I mean, that Saints history is something I've always, you know, been near and dear to my heart. And John Hill was a special player for the Saints. So, you know, he's a guy that'll be missed.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is with the Saints is, it's so long ago, so it doesn't hurt as much. So it's comedy now, and they were bad. But, like, the good players were so few in a stretch of, like, the 60s and 70s and whatnot. You can name them from, like, the inception in 67 to, like, the Bum Phillips era, when even though Bum didn't win, he started running the team better and getting better players. There's maybe like 8 or 9 really above average NFL players that the Saints had. Like it was a short fucking list, and Heaton Hill was on there. So I agree with you.
Well, the thing is, Dirlan Moore was another one in that era who was really good. You know, those were really two of the only guys on that team that were good. But because of the positions they played, they went up against each other every day in practice. So that was the thing. They had a great defensive tackle and they had a great center.
Yeah. So we got Twitter questions. I'm going to get to them. Let's see what we got here. We probably have a lot of wrestling ones, but when Kevin joins me and you later in the week, Andrew, we'll get to those. So let's see. Is Big Nuts Lutz the most underappreciated Saints player who's been killing it this year?
It's the most underappreciated nickname on the team, I'll tell you that much.
I love that nickname, Big Nuts Lutz.
He does have big nuts. I mean,
you think I could drop that on WWL in the morning time with Eric Paulson?
I wouldn't.
I mean, I don't think that that's against any FCC regulations.
You can do anything once.
My thing is, I told you, Ralph, we were talking about how the Saints basically were fortunate to win some of these games earlier in the season, and just the way they were playing. I mean, they were playing so bad against the Bucks and the Browns and the Falcons, and for them to be 2-1 through that stretch was shocking. I told you the one thing they were doing was Breeze wasn't throwing any picks and Lutz wasn't missing any kicks, and that's unsustainable. So at some point, like, the defense needs to play better, because Breeze is going to throw a pick and Lutz is going to miss a kick. Like, it's going to happen eventually. Well,
yeah, this is from,
he it hasn't happened yet. Lutz is still not missing.
This is from Brangen Girl. What is the craziest great game day superstition you've ever had or heard of? I stopped watching the game last night right after halftime because every time I turned the channel, the Saints either scored or got a turnover. The W was more important than me watching. That's fucking dedication. Andrew, the weirdest thing you've ever heard of. That's pretty strong.
Yeah, that could never be. I mean, because then it's just not fun. If I can't watch, that's a kind of sacrifice that. I'm very superstitious. I do it more with like what I eat, and if it works, like I'll eat the same thing the next week, or what I wear. But the Saints are 5-0 now with my podcast T-shirt. So I've been wearing that every Sunday.
Donate $12 a month for 7 months, and you too can have the sweetest podcast T-shirt on the internets. Do it now.
Yeah, I think right now is a good time, Ralph, to plug also that hey, listen, if you're a listener and you're not a patron yet, you're thinking about doing it. What it costs you is $1. $1.
Or you can donate $3.28 and get a magnet.
And yeah, if you do go 328, you get a magnet.
This week is a starving child in Africa.
That's right.
Pennies.
And this week, in my opinion, is one of maybe the biggest sports football weekend in Louisiana history. When you look at LSU,
it's no doubt.
LSU and Alabama, and you look at the Saints and the undefeated Rams. And so Ralph and I have decided we're gonna do at least a 10-minute show every day this week, from now through Sunday. We'll do a pregame on Sunday before the game and a postgame afterwards. We're going to double down on this, throw fuel on the fire while this is happening, and you're going to be able to get access to all that stuff if you just donate $1.
We're even going to do an LSU podcast, just because why the fuck not?
Yep.
We're going to line up the guests, and we're going to knock that thing out, and you're going to get
Saturday
morning.
Hot Take Boudreaux's been on vacation. He's been on his boat in the bayou all week, but he's back tomorrow.
He's back.
Which day is the Tulane podcast?
Any day that you're available, Dave, during the day, take time away from your busy T-shirt empire. We'll do a Tulane podcast. Their bowl hopes look pretty fucking
good. How is the Justin McMillan, by the way? Are you liking him?
I mean, he won the game last week, so he's one for one as a starter.
You like him better than the other quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. Partly because it's just a breath of fresh air and it's a change. But, you know, he's a better passer than Banks is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Before we got to get to
that's
the
too much Rouse, like that's too much too late talk. We got to
hot question of the week, and that's sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Bucholica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, Thai flavors. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order today. That's JLDSharpSauce.com. Dave, this is a question from James. Can we all agree the best play of the game is when that DB squared up to Dave's boyfriend Mark Ingram and got his ass run over?
Yep. Don't mess with my man. Do not mess with my man.
Ingram looks good.
I forgot. Hold on. Put Juju's judgments back on. Put the theme back on. I forgot my last one. Put it back on.
Do.
Okay. Here's my last judgment. I don't know what Mark Ingram was taking this offseason. I don't know what performance-enhancing drug it was, but I'm totally cool with it because that dude was mauling people, and he looked as fast as he's ever been in his life. So, Mark, all is forgiven. I'm glad you took that stuff.
I don't care if he was doing horse steroids that hell does for wrestling. He looks phenomenal. He looks great.
I remember when we used to accept donations for Kevin's horse steroids.
We do. This is from Lucas. Goff looked shook by that Green Bay pass rush. Is he doomed Sunday, Juge?
Yeah, well, the Saints are going to have to stop Gurley. So, you know, it's going to have to start with run defense. But, man, Davenport's the X factor for me. He really is, because you saw what happens. It's like, we know Cam Jordan's going to do his thing, but if all of a sudden the Saints have a threat that you have to recognize and respect from the other side, then it just makes – I mean, you look at, like, Cam Newton in the Super Bowl and how he looked, or –
Yeah,
you know, Cousins in the second half yesterday, and we've talked about this on the podcast. We've talked about this off air about how there's a bunch of quarterbacks in this league. Cousins is one of them. Flacco, Matt Stafford, and they're all good quarterbacks. And if you give them time, any of them are liable. Yeah, Fitzmagic, any of them are liable of lighting you up. But you know, Breeze, Rodgers, Brady, those guys are rare, because if you get pressure on them, you know, they're still elite. They're still really, really good. But most quarterbacks, they kind of turn into a pumpkin if you just get pressure. And I believe Goff is one of those guys. I think he's having a great year. He was pretty good last year. But I just think you get in his face, you rattle him like the Saints did with Cousins, and you're going to see a different type of player. And the X factor, not only in this game but the season for me, is Davenport. And the question is, how quickly – can he become a dominant defensive end that's a constant threat on the other side? Because if he can become, you know, a Khalil Mack or Von Miller type of guy eventually, and I don't know if he has that as a ceiling, but if he does, it has a transformative quality all on its own.
Ralph, did you mute yourself?
I did mute myself. Yourself. The prodigal son is back. Hell
yes!
Nice.
Join us. How is life in St. Louis?
You know, life is okay. My parents are visiting from out of town, so you know, I'm sure y'all can imagine how that's going.
I haven't.
You have like an air mattress you put them on?
No. I actually let them take the big California king, and I go and I sleep on the couch.
At least you don't have to listen to them tell you about how to raise your kid.
Well, he's got the dog. You got the dog. You're a pet parent, right? Hell, do they tell you how to raise your dog?
Right. No. They're constantly petrified the dog's going to eat them. Like the The dog sprained his foot earlier today before I got home from work. So he's kind of like limping around the living room, and they're like looking around at me like, is this dog going to jump on me? I'm like, this dog is limping around. He ain't going to jump on shit.
How old is the dog?
He's 9.
That's not that old. So we haven't talked to you in like a month or more, maybe longer than that. What is your impression of 6-1, and how much did you enjoy sticking it to the fucking Vikings?
I enjoyed it mightily. You know, the
did you watch the game, Kevin?
I watched the second half of the game.
Okay. The best half.
Yes. Yeah. Because the first half, I'm following along on Twitter, and everybody's losing their minds like, oh, my God, this is terrible. I can't believe this is happening. Blah, 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 blah. We're not getting enough this. We're not doing enough that. And I'm like, oh, shit, this game sounds like it's going to be a clusterfuck by the time I get home to watch it. And I check Twitter again, and they're like, oh, and at halftime, the Saints are leading. They got 17 points on the board. I'm like, wait a minute. Holy shit. How the heck? Everybody was losing their goddamn mind on Twitter that the Saints were looking terrible, and they go into halftime with a lead on the road? Like, come on, man. Like relax.
It's like you're new to Saints Twitter, Kevin. It's like where have you been? Oh, my God. Saints Twitter isn't rational and gets over emotional?
I'm keenly aware. Look, I follow several of the people that if the Saints go 3-and-out, they immediately start tweeting, oh, well, the game's lost. Let me flip around and see what else is on cable now. Like, I'm aware of that.
Do you follow Drew Brees' burner account, Kevin?
No, I do not follow. I do not follow Drew's burner account, Jimmy John's 6969.
Drew Brees' burner account, he advertises 2-for-1 drinks at Visions, which I personally am all for, but I think it's a little inappropriate for an NFL quarterback to be doing, even on a burner account. But I'm telling you, if Twitter, if they get rid of likes and the GIF part of Twitter, I'm going to fucking abandon that hellscape of a site.
Oh, yeah, look, but listen.
Is there talk of Twitter, that happening?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They
want
to improve the discourse on Twitter. The only way to improve the discourse on Twitter is to get rid of fucking Twitter, man.
The intelligentsia running Twitter is like, it's like, imagine you get a customer comment card and you fill out all your gripes and you hand it to the business, and the business ignores every single one of those things, and it's like, and like, shit, pretend it's a restaurant, you have a bunch of gripes, all this and that and da da da, and they say, oh, you know what'll change things? Let's change up the sugar packets that we hand out on each table. That'll really turn this business around. Yeah, guy. Good idea.
Yeah. The guy who invented Twitter, he wants it to be like Firing Line with William F. Buckley or something. Fucking, the Twitter is the Roman Colosseum, man. It's Team A fighting Team B, and we cheer our team until Team B is dead. You know? I mean, so look, I gotta do the promo. Go to mybookie.com. They have the best gambling site on the internet. Go there. Use Happy25. You get an extra $25. You bet. You win. They pay. Mybookie.com. I should have used them instead of burning all my money in Vegas last week. I'd be better off. You would be too. Mybookie.com. All right, Kevin. You joined us late.
Wait a minute. Hang on a minute. Wait, we got to rewind this one. Did you just shill mybookie.com?
I did.
Are you telling me? Are you telling me that you, Juge, and Dave secured a legitimate
sponsor? Kevin, we have two legitimate sponsors.
So you're telling me. You're telling me
I haven't seen a dime of this money.
You're telling me that I walk away into the wilderness like Kane from Kung Fu, and you guys start pulling in sponsorship deals now?
You left at the low point, Kevin. We got the audio fixed. We got sound effects like this.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
which
we
is
got,
a terrible
we got,
sound effects.
We got JLD Hot Sauce sponsoring us too. You left when we were in the valley.
Give him the my life.
And my personal favorite.
He represents all that is soulless and wrong.
You see, Kevin, you should have stuck with us through the valley and the dark time and the horrible audio that I sounded like I was talking out of a tin can. You can always come back. The people love you like my son loves his grandpa. They love you more than all the rest of us combined.
Speaking of sound bites, do you know who caused the fumble on Sunday? Who was credited with the forced fumble?
That would be Anzalone.
Yeah, we're also racially insensitive now, Kevin. I don't know if you've heard.
Jesus Christ.
It's really cool to make fun of Italian Americans now, apparently.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, we're just dishing out the spicy meatballs here.
So we got.
You can send all your hate mail to Ralph Marlboro, Castle Rock, Texas.
Or just email saintshappyhour.com at saintshappyhour@gmail. I'll answer you 2019.
Ralph is still the only one that gets emails from fans.
And you know what? Look, if we get enough of those emails, you know, the my bookie people might abandon ship. We might have to go back to accepting sponsorships from laundromats in Denham Springs.
I was saying, I remember when we were accepting donations for your horse tranquilizers.
You laugh, but I got an email from the inbox today about some sort of fan upscale experience at the Dome. They want a sponsor too. Like, you get one sponsor, then we've become legitimate, and more sponsors want to come in. It's a pyramid scheme running of full legitimacy.
Yeah, but Kevin, don't worry, because I haven't seen any of that money either. I'm pretty sure Ralph and Andrew just hoard it all. They've got, like, a room somewhere like Heisenberg.
Oh, yeah. It's in the walls. Jude needs to buy those sweet, perfect white thigh-high tennis shorts, and you know, Ralph
needs...
Yeah,
those don't come cheap, man.
Yeah. Ralph needs the special decanters for all of his... for all of his obnoxiously flavored booze.
Here's the thing. For myboogie.com, for last month, after the taxes, I cleared a crisp, clean $63.83.
Oh, well, you could buy the new black licorice-flavored Jim Beam there.
We get $6 for every 1,200 listens. Before taxes. Well, I get it. It's for the... We put it in the emergency fund, so when my cat pisses all over the computer, I can buy a fucking another one. So, before we get out of here, Kevin, I'm going to start with you. The Saints are a...
Kevin should just finish off the show.
Well, we got to have the predictions.
Yeah, I'm here to finish y'all.
We got to predict the Rams game. The Saints are
Raising.
A... The Saints are a 2.5-point favorite. Kevin, who you got? You're going to have to suffer through Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, I'm sure.
All right, so here's a take on that one. Joe Buck is not as annoying. Like, I paid more. I was listening to the World Series.
Mute him right now. I mean, don't even let him finish that sentence.
Joe Buck. Okay. Troy Aikman is the is more of the problem than Joe Buck. I will say it. Troy Aikman is more
Troy
the problem.
Troy Aikman is a poet compared to Jason Witten.
Well, yes. I mean, it's apples and, you know, rotten cantaloupe, I guess. Boy, if I can just up the schedule here and just... So, are the Saints at home? Computers now.
Yes, the Saints are home.
They are.
Because LSU on Saturday night.
Right. Biggest weekend in Louisiana sports history ever.
That's nice.
Well, that's what
so, okay. And the Saints are favored by 3?
No, I think it's a pick 'em, huh?
It's started 2.5, but I think it might be one.
Yeah, it's
one
a pick. It's a, as of today, it was what? A pick 'em.
Oh. Okay. Oh shit! All right, so just, I tell you what, I'll take.
Just pick
yeah,
a winner.
I'll take
Held.
The Saints. I'll take the Saints. I will say 34-30.
Ooh. Nice. Who's the MVP?
All right. The easy thing would be to say Drew Brees or Kamara or Mike Thomas. I am currently looking.
You're going to say Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go.
Jesus.
I'm going to say Traquan Smith is going to turn some heads. And I'm going to say he gets 5 catches for at least 70 yards and a touchdown.
He is so far deep on my bench in the fantasy league, the adult fantasy league in Saints Happy Hour. That seems like a very good prediction, Kevin.
570-1. If it happens, you can take that to my bookie and they'll pay out. If not, you never pay.
If not, you'll drink a gallon of JLD hot sauce.
Dave.
Right.
Dave, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Saints here. Obviously the Rams are 8-0, but their quality of their opponents up to this point amazing. The Raiders, the Cardinals, the Niners, those are 1-2 win teams there. The Saints
Seahawks
are now beating
nice
teams.
Win.
Yeah, the Seahawks is good. Almost lost to Green Bay last night or yesterday. At home.
Should have lost.
Should have
Aaron
lost, yeah.
Lost his shit when that dude took the ball out the end zone and fumbled.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, like that's Aaron Rodgers' time. Like that's when he shines with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter down by a score. And for him to not even get that opportunity, I'm sure he was ready to go and do it again. But anyway, back to the Saints game. It's going to be a hard game. I think the Rams are good. They're good on defense. They're great on offense. But I do think the Saints are playing some of their best football they've ever played in a long time. And they're at home. So I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to say Saints 37, Rams 30. And I will say the player of the game is going to be we're going to go back with Mark Ingram.
Ooh, that's a good choice. Andrew, who you got?
That's such a Dave selection. I think the Saints are going to win also. I will also say a similar score. I'll say 31-28 Saints. And I think it will come down to a Will Lutz field goal as time expires for the Saints to win in walk-off fashion. Player of the game, this is nothing crazy, but I think Alvin Kamara is going to be a beast in this one. I think he's going to score 3 touchdowns. I think he's going to have 150 yards receiving. He's probably going to add another 40 on the ground, so it'll be close to 200 total. I think this is
even recorded.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna be contrarian and say the Rams are gonna win 38-28.
Yeah, I thought about picking
the Saints defense is going to look really, really bad, and everyone is gonna declare the Rams the king of the NFC and no one else is even in their league, and the Saints will end up being they'll be tied with first for Carolina, but it won't be that bad. It's not even Thanksgiving.
If Eli Apple is garbage in this game again, what will his nickname be? Will it be like Eli
Crapple?
Eli Snapple.
Eli
Snapple.
It Eli will be, Snapple. Henceforth,
every time he makes a bad play from now on, I will hashtag Eli Crapple.
I mean, I feel like Apple and PJ Williams and Crawley are all getting close to, like, you know, Toast Thomas, Toast Weary, Toy Cook, Toast, you know, like, I feel like a bad corner for the Saints is always Toast or, you know, some form, some nickname. So, I don't know, those guys are getting close.
Eli Crapple's a great bad nickname.
Yeah, I like it.
So, for Dave... For Andrew and Kevin, who has returned for a special appearance. Kevin, the people would love you every single week, but I know you have busy lives in St. Louis. You have your dog and your parents and all that. So, but thanks for joining us. We love when you stop by. And anyway, the bar is closed.
All right, later.
Later.
All right. That was magical, Held. Magical, your entrance. You went in like George Costanza, hit on a high note, and left.